Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Pipestone, Minnesota, served in the Marine Corps, and earned an MBA from Stanford University. He joined Ford Motor Company in 1949 and was instrumental in bringing many new products to market, including the Mustang, the Taurus, and the Explorer. He was Ford's president and COO for 5 years, and its CEO and chairman of the board from 1985 till 1989. His name, Don Peterson. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Don Peterson, the former CEO and chairman of the board of Ford Motor Company. Mr. Peterson, welcome. A real honor to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Okay. Just start, eh?
Amen.
Well, I was back in the early 20th century, it was kind of a requirement that Scandinavians be born in Minnesota, so I was born in Minnesota. But at the age of two, health problems in the family caused my dad to give up being a farmer, and we moved to Southern California. That was what the medics said in those days, for asthmatic problems. The timing couldn't have been worse because we moved in 1928. He had been quite successful as a farmer. But with the crash just around the corner, he never got settled in California. So I grew up from arrival at the age two. We were in Southern California until I was almost 12. And basically, my dad never really had a job. So we all pitched in a variety of ways as we found ways to make a little money this way or that. It was a fine, fine place to live. And the family had two older brothers. Was a very good, cohesive family. No difficulties from a family standpoint. So I was a pretty happy little kid.
What's the biggest thing you learned from your dad, Don? And what's the biggest thing you learned from your mom?
Well. I think what I learned from my dad, I learned through osmosis. It just kind of happened. He was a very congenial type of a person. Anger just wasn't very present in our home. So maybe he did a lot to help me become reasonably good at behavior. My mother was the one who made a point as I went through the single-digit years that I needed to do something to get over my tendency to anger. That if I didn't get control, it would be something that would haunt me. And Don, you just have to get over getting angry so easily. And she hammered it home.
It worked. It worked. You're part of the greatest generation. Talk to us about the greatest generation, Don Peterson.
Well, I think the difficulties of the Depression years had a very significant impact on almost anybody that lived through those years, especially if you were in an area where finding any kind of work was extremely difficult, and that certainly was the case in Southern California. It led to, I think, a tendency to well, not so much a tendency, it led to having it come home to you that if you wanted something, the best way to get it was to find a way to earn money so that you could get it for yourself. And that caused each of us, the three boys, in our turn, to look for things to do, ways to make money. As the years went on, the transition from the FDR days and all of the programs, none of which really did much good for anybody that I could see as a little kid, the lead up to the war was something that I think caught this country very much by surprise, at least from my age, my standpoint. I don't remember very much conversation about war until all of a sudden Pearl Harbor was bombed. I do remember prior to that time, I was getting old enough that I was wondering, how in the world am I going to go to college? My parents really preached the importance of going to college. And the only that led me to think, now, where might I be able to get help? Where might I be able to get a scholarship? Well, our family was a Lutheran family. And so I became aware of St. Olaf's College in Minnesota. And I thought, well, I probably could get a scholarship to St. Olaf's. And maybe I'd find I liked being a minister. Who knows? So I was thinking along those lines until the wartime came along and opportunities started to unfold because of the need for people, the need for gearing up our military structure. Phase one, all kinds of work was available almost within months after the Pearl Harbor. Kaiser started up major shipyard capabilities there in Portland, Oregon. All five of us in our family at one time or another worked in the shipyard. And that was the way we made our living through that early war period. And I earned enough so that I was able to pay for 1 year at Oregon State.
We're talking to Don Peterson. When we come back, we'll ask him about his time in the Marine Corps in World War II and the Korean War, how that helped him and what that taught him about leading Ford Motor Company. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Don Peterson, former president, COO, and CEO of Ford Motor Company. Don, being in the Marine Corps, what did it teach you later in your role as president and leading Ford Motor Company?
It's hard to start with the Marine Corps since my first 2 years in the service, I was an apprentice seaman in the Navy. So much of my experience initially was strictly discipline and going to college to get an engineering degree. When I did, I decided back then the Marine Corps and the Navy were one and the same, really. I decided to take the commission in the Marine Corps because it sent me to the East Coast, and I never dreamed I'd ever find a way to get to the East Coast. And that beat the orders to the for the Navy was to go to an oiler in the Pacific Ocean. That sounded unromantic to me. So I got out east. I went to Parris Island. I think we were the first officers to go through boot camp in the Marine Corps. That was about a summer's worth of disciplined training that was very thorough. I must say the Marine Corps does a very thorough job of whatever they undertake. Once we had graduated from boot camp, which is what they called it, I was sent to basic school in Quantico, Virginia. And that was just the nuts and bolts of what it's like to be an infantry officer in the United States Marine Corps. So that it was just fundamentals. but very hard-nosed in terms of the instruction and the behavior. I finally got so when the quarter was bounced off my bunk, it truly bounced way up in the air. I think that training in the basic school was fundamental to seeing the tremendous benefit in discipline.
How was it, Don Peterson, you joined Ford Motor Company in 1949?
I had an engineering degree from University of Washington. I was not sure I'd be that great an engineer, so I wanted another wing to fly on, and I decided on business school. And I wound up going to the Graduate School of Business at Stanford University. And it was from there, after 2 years of school, that I applied for jobs. People, the various companies came by to interview people. I only received three offers. This was 1949. And it was not a great year. GE, Carnation, and Ford. And Ford was the only one that let me go directly onto a job. The others wanted me to go in training programs. Well, I'd been trained by the Marines. I'd been trained by the Navy. I'd been educated through school for years and years. I wanted a job. So I took the Ford job because they were willing to let me try that. And I... the question was, what would I be interested in doing? And I wrote on the application product planning. They called me back for an interview, they being Ford Motor Company. And about all the interview amounted to was, well, what do you mean by product planning? And I said, well, there has to be somewhere here at Ford someone who plans new products for the future. Somebody must do that. It seems to me that'd be pretty interesting work, and I'd like to get involved in it.
You've said that your two biggest mentors at Ford in your long career were Bob McNamara and Lee Iacocca. What did those two men teach you?
I would add Henry Ford, by the way.
I stand corrected.
Bob McNamara was just a remarkable individual. I had nothing but good experiences with him. We were worlds apart in terms of position in the company, but he was a very good listener, I thought. He asked extremely good questions. There was one stretch when for over a year we had a weekly session in which I was the proposer, the product planning person, and he was the final decider. He was the overall head of North American operations. And it was just, it was one of the most stimulating periods in my lifetime. The questions that Bob had and how he reacted to my answers and how he let me persist. He did not shut me off. He would... time and again, he'd say, well, you haven't convinced me, Don. And then he'd ask, can you put this kind of information together? And he'd typically draw out a piece of paper with the columns he wanted filled in and all the rest. And I'd say, well, it'll have to be just my opinions. I don't have any factual information, but yeah, I think I can do a reasonable job of responding. Well, with this process, I'd go home almost with a mental high from the interchange with McNamara. He was a totally different individual from the image people now have of him from his days as Secretary of Defense. Couldn't have been kinder, nicer person.
Lee Iacocca.
Okay. Lee and I had occasions early on to run into each other, but he was in sales, I was in planning. At about the middle of the 50s, Lee came in as the general marketing person for Ford Division. I was the planning guy. And I thought I'd go down and and see him and suggest we have a weekly meeting. So I could tell him what I was thinking about doing with future products. He could tell me how he thought they might work in the out in the field. And so week by week by week, we had this, and we did this for several years. Then in the course of events, to skip through time a little bit, he became the general manager of the Ford division, vice president, general manager. So then I was working for him. And that worked out just fine. He went through a lot of troubled times one way and another. And in some ways, I became somebody with whom he confided just to talk about things. And he moved me from place to place as he wanted to build new portions of the Ford division structure in different ways. So I worked for and with Lee many years.
Talk about bigger-than-life figures, Bob McNamara, Lee Iacocca, maybe the biggest, Henry Ford the Deuce.
Yeah. Phase one, I always had the impression he wasn't so sure about me, because I was this kid proposing all these product programs that were just going to spend money, and many, frequently that would be the sense I had from him. But phase two, I got into general management. There was a time when one of the jobs I had, what was called diversified products, everything from steel to coal to castings to chemicals to parts divisions, just on and on, reported to me. And I came to a meeting with Henry Ford and Lee with a structured way of saying, this is what we should stay in, this is what we should emphasize, I recommend we get out of this, 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 and this. And at the end of the meeting, he said, well, do it, go ahead. And that seemed to cause him to have a flip in his opinion of me, for the better.
We're talking to Don Peterson, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Don Peterson, former president, CEO of Ford Motor Company. Don, how does a young man from Pipestone, Minnesota, become the president and CEO of Ford Motor Company? How did that happen?
That's a tough one to give an answer to. The things I think
the
I did...
The name of the show is Anything Is Possible.
What I didn't realize was being hired as a graduate from a master's degree in college, I was already part of a strikingly smaller group than the total population of the Ford Motor Company. And then from there, I think playing it straight, not being political, not tying my future to the coattails of any particular person, just doing what I thought was the right thing to do, working with people in a positive way, trying to get work cooperatively, struck me as the way to go. It seemed to work well. When I got to at 20 years out of my 40, I was at truck operations, and it was just striking how well the truck people cooperated and worked together, and what a wonderful outcome it was. This was despite the fact they were all considered mediocre back in the early days, because that's why they're in trucks instead of cars. And so I thought maybe that's why I was there too. But that just convinced me that teamwork was the thing. That plus having a good working relationship with Iacocca as he was president, a growing and good relationship with Henry Ford as he made me his international person at one stage, were just very fortunate things that helped my career be much more than I ever thought about.
We're talking to Don Peterson, who was instrumental in bringing many new products to Ford to market, including the Mustang, the Taurus, the Explorer. Don Peterson, how did the Mustang ever come about?
Well, it has more fathers than any, automobile I've ever known. Truly, this is the sequence. I worked for assistant general manager, marvelous, competent engineer named Don Fry. He had, under Lee Iacocca, he had all the physical doing it, the planning them and making them, doing the engineering, making them. And another half of the, another assistant general manager had all the selling and marketing and selling. Don asked me to take a look whether there's any way, I was still the product planning guy, to have a competitor for the Corvette. And so I pulled a guy named Hal Spurlick, remember his name, Hal Spurlick out, and I said, Hal, Don would like us to take a look. Can we do this? And he came back after a month, maybe, and said, Pete, there's no way. There's just, we'd have to do it as a loss leader. But in the course of looking at it, I've come across two cars that shouldn't be doing well but are, because they're part of very poor product lines. Within the Corvair line, there's a Monza, which is a little 2 plus 2, very sporty and nicely priced, $2,200 or something like that. And then over at Renault, they have a Renault Dauphine, same thing, 2 plus 2. And a shabby Renault line, and its product, its quality itself wasn't all that great, nor was it, by the way, on the Monza. But they were cute, and they were inexpensive, and people loved the look of them, and they were selling well. So Hal said he took a look. By that time, we had put a V8 in the Falcon, which was a miss. If there was ever a disconnect between a product concept Falcon and a high-performance engine, that was it. But he said, it's all engineered. We have the Falcon base with a V8 in it. Why don't we do a sporty car like the little 2 plus 2s? That's it.
Why was it so successful?
It was so successful because everybody loved the look of it. The price was ridiculously reasonable. We offered it in six-cylinder manual transmission through V8 automatics. The first year, it was just extremely easy to buy financially. It was not an expensive car. And it was pretty as hell. And we knew we were going to run out of V8s. So we went to a GM town, Daytona, and told the dealers there that if you can have all the Mustangs you want if you'll just take sixes and sell them as women's car. And it was an explosive success. So we wound up selling, where we got it approved for 75,000 units, we sold 417,000 or something like that the first year.
You bought Jaguar.
Yep.
Why? And would you do it again?
I did it because this was almost 40 years of experience at Ford, and I had watched our inability to become a meaningful presence in the luxury car business. Especially, this was true in Europe. And I was motivated at least as much by the European situation as it was in North America. And my thought was, here was this Jaguar with a lousy reputation in terms of quality, but a marvelous historic reputation as an elegant luxury car. So I decided this is the way to get the Ford Motor Company into the luxury field. And that's why I proposed that we buy it, and we did.
Don Peterson, you really, really respected, you loved Henry Ford the Deuce.
Yes.
And you went around the world with him. Talk about some of those experiences.
it started when he said he wanted to make me his international guy. As we'd had lunch over that, he said, by the way, Pete, would you please just let me know, let my office know when you're going to go overseas anywhere. I might want to go along with you. I just might, you know. And so, I said, of course, I said I'd be happy to do that. And the pattern became one where it became invariably true that he went along with us. And when I say us, Jody and I traveled, and he had his Kathy with him. So the four of us just went everywhere. And there was a pattern to that evolved as to how we worked in a given country. Step one, he introduced me to the political system, the president, the chairman, or the whatever they called him, prime minister. Step two, he introduced me to the leaders of the business community. And step three, he knew a beautiful woman in every country in this world. And he'd call his beautiful woman and say, I have a couple that I'd really appreciate if you would introduce to society. And so that was the third session. It was a fabulous evening with all the society. Finally, step four was my meeting. And he was going because he wanted to say goodbye to all the Ford people everywhere in the world. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful pattern of meetings.
Well, God blessed you in many ways, and one of the biggest ways was he introduced you or had you meet the most beautiful woman in the world, Jody, and 63 years later?
Oh, no, he didn't introduce me. I met Jody at 17 on her birthday as a freshman entry pair at Oregon State University.
63 years.
Yep.
What's been the key?
As we left our... There was a no alcohol reception after our wedding in Portland, Oregon. As we got in the car to drive south for me to continue school at Stanford, the two of us knew the whole thing was up to us. We had no support. We either made it or we didn't. We were on our way. And so we were committed. And I think that really helped. We had some trouble staying together because I was at the University of Washington, she was at Oregon State. But once we got together, we knew we really wanted it to work. And we knew we were the only two around that were going to make it work.
We're talking to Don Peterson, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with the legendary Don Peterson. Don, you met Ellen Mullally in the early 90s as a Boeing board member. Talk to us about Ellen Mullally.
Yes, that is the way I met him. I was on the board, and Alan was the chief engineer for the 777 program, which had not yet flown as an airplane. And bit by bit, initially he was making presentations at the board level, and we started to hit it off. I was very impressed by him. Very straightforward, clearly a fine engineer. Within just a few years of my being on the board wanted to interview my niece, Laura Peterson, who lived in Seattle, to see if they could talk her into working at Boeing. And I said, if you want to talk to her, you're... be my guest, you know. And so when she came out to talk with somebody, they had it worked arranged so that the person she met was Ellen Mullally. Well, I had written a book by that time called A Better Idea. And as Alan greeted my niece, Laura, he had my book, Better Idea, with Post-its all over it. And so he was full of... the Peterson clan, so to speak, in terms of interest in my ideas at Ford. And so he and Laura hit it off. She is now a vice president of Boeing. And our friendship just grew. And as he got better and better jobs, periodically we would have lunch together in the a private dining room Boeing maintained downtown in Seattle. So we just became very good friends.
He's done a phenomenal job at Ford Motor Company. Why?
He has done a lot of the right things, obviously. First of all, he is, even though he has no auto experience, as he has frequently said, you know, they're both transportation. They both have power units. There's a lot of commonality between them. And he is an extraordinarily good engineer. But he is also a very fine executive. Very straightforward. He's strong, but he's never harsh. People learn quickly. I'm using the wrong word. People respond to him and quickly find they like him a lot. This is the best way I can put it. He has a key group. He assembles his own key group wherever he is, and on Thursday morning they have a meeting and they go to discuss the issues of the week until they're through. That's however long it takes. My knowledge of those meetings, again, comes through Laura. Laura was in those meetings at Boeing, and he just picked up the same concept, has used it at Ford. He was able to take significant decisions, for instance, the major borrowing of money, because he'd had to live through the post-9/11 years at Boeing when flying and nuke aircraft just went dead. And so he had been through all the problems of stringent needs for reduction and control. But at the same time, he shares strongly with me the feeling about the importance of people. I used the word teamwork. He used working together and continuous quality improvement. Those two themes have tremendous power in them, and he's a true believer.
Don Peterson, you have a grace about you, an inner peace. Did you always have that, and how can we get that?
Good heavens. I think that a happy marriage leads to a happy life, first of all. It's hard for me to imagine feeling the way I do today if I didn't have the marriage that Jody and I have. And beyond that, there's been a sense of accomplishment for me as I've lived my life. And that has been a good feeling as I've gone along.
Life is a series of chapters, and you've had many glorious chapters. How do we learn to let go of a chapter and look forward to another chapter?
Well, let's think about my departure from Ford. That's almost 21 years ago. A strikingly new chapter. And I made a point of concentrating on the future. And what did I want to do? And I was on some excellent boards, but I did not want to become a board member, professional board member. So I looked for things that would be truly interesting to me, and that turned out to be a fair amount of school-related involvement, and especially at the University of Washington, which was my undergraduate school. I've been active there now for decades, and I'm I was the first chairman of the University of Washington Foundation, and I'm now a founding member, or I guess a lifetime member, they call me. So I'm still rattling around in the same education environment that I've always enjoyed.
America's greatest days, are they still ahead of us?
The greatest days. I think that's a question that hard to answer. I'd like to think that as difficult as I see the problem today, which I'm more worried today than I've ever been worried about the future of the United States in my life. This, I think, is a very, very serious period that we're going through. We have to avoid going the full boat of socialism, which is endemic in Europe, and demonstrably just removes all the energy from an economy. I guess when you think of the terrible things we've gone through and come out the other end successfully, I would rather bet on us than bet against us.
Optimism, hope?
You got to have it. You got to have it.
And taking risk, and taking risk.
Yeah. And we have a few individuals right today as we're talking who are showing that willingness to take risk.
Don Peterson, you showed us that for 40 plus years at Ford Motor Company. And you changed the world. You changed the world. So, been an honor to have you. You look great. Stay healthy and keep loving Jody.
Thank you. I'll do the last for sure.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.